The retirement of 10,000 baby boomers every day can have several significant impacts on current retirees, as well as the broader economy and social systems. We'll dig into that and more on today's show.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Dunes.
Welcome to Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, and along with a full studio from Dual Financial Strategy of Stan Dual, Andy Schooler, and Luke Van Abel, we welcome you to this week's program because it's all about your retirement, where they can provide you with a retirement lifestyle review from two offices in the Fox Valley, one in Green Bay, and one in Appleton. All right, Sam, we're going to start with you. We've got some key areas where current retirees might be affected. So let's talk about this here. You talk about the number of baby boomers that are going to have a lot of impact on current retirees. Let's talk about Social Security and Medicare, first of all.
Yeah, we're already starting to see some of these things happen because this baby boomer, this baby boomer swell has been going on for a while now. But one of the biggest things, of course, is just the increased demand. Obviously, on Social Security and Medicare both, there's more people drawing benefits. And when there's more people drawing benefits, then that puts increased financial pressure on Social Security and Medicare. And the reason why that's happening is because the number of people that are in the workforce that are contributing to Social Security and Medicare is reducing. So we're getting more and more and more people retired while we're getting less and less and less people working. I mean, I've seen some studies. I can't remember what the year is, but I've seen some studies where it's not that far in the future where it's literally a 1-to-1 ratio that we have one person working for every one person retired. And that used to be a significant multiple where we had multiple people working for everybody that was retired. So this could potentially lead to changes in benefits. It could lead to changes in benefits in both. There could be reduced payouts. There could be increased eligibility ages. Now, Chuck, I'm not of the scare group that seems to be very prevalent now that acts like they're going to chop Social Security in half. And all of a sudden, every senior in the United States is going to be sleeping in a cardboard box. I do not envision that. But I do believe that for the younger people, I would say probably 50 and below, I believe that if we see significant changes or increased eligibility ages,
there we go.
I believe that that probably is the age group it can affect. And as I said before, because we have a lower number of people working today, versus how many people are retired and retiring, that could lead to some funding challenges in the future.
All right, Andy, what about the effect on healthcare services?
Well, I think just like everybody else, we feel it everywhere. So we feel it when we go to the grocery store. We feel it when we try and talk to somebody. The customer service is definitely down. And I think the bigger issue is not only are we going to see a higher need for healthcare in the general landscape of our country, but we're going to see a decrease in the amount of workers that are out there. And so I believe it is imperative to make sure you have additional money set aside for long-term care, home health care, adult daycare, assisted living, whatever. But I think you need to spend some time really contemplating your needs. And I mean, let's face it, we all like to think that we're just going to die in our sleep and not wake up again. But the problem is that that's not the way most of us go. So this could be a potential challenge as in costs as well as finding good quality service. So it will be a huge strain on the resources, both of the medical facilities, healthcare providers. Walk around some of the Medicare facilities and make sure you understand what benefits are in the different packages that they have, because they all have different levels. And so sometimes just having additional money specific to being able to take care of your needs is great. I have had some people that have said, no, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to spend all my assets. And that way, Medicare can't get the benefits of my estate. And that's all well and good, except that's very, very hard to time. So I wouldn't go out there with that objective. I would go out there making sure that you've got options.
All right, we're talking, Luke, about 10,000 baby boomers every day going into the market of retirement and how it affects current retirees. Well, how will it affect pension systems?
Yeah, well, pension systems are another source of income, just like Social Security. And in a similar vein, we've got an increased number of people if you're fortunate enough to have a pension, that are drawing benefits. And so that's putting a strain on these pension funds, which could lead to reduction in benefits just because of the amount of demand there. Another factor I think involved with pensions is that many of them have been underperforming their targets as far as, you know, they put out targets for performance and returns, and that determines benefits as well. And so because of that, that could have a decreased result for future payments down the road. So if you're fortunate enough to have a pension, might be worth a second look at something like that to ensure that that income is going to be there for you.
All right, Sam, I'm sure you touched on some of the economic implications about adding 10,000 baby boomers to the retired list every week, but what are some of the labor market changes and maybe consumption patterns?
Well, you know, we're definitely seeing labor market changes. We have a shortage of experienced workers. I think that probably anyone that's listening to the sound of our voices would echo that. When you go into a store today, or when you put into, you know, you're put into an endless call chain for some company that you're calling, it's already started to impact us. All of those things have started to change. And basically, this is insane to us, Chuck. We don't understand this as people who have always worked hard and built businesses and never been out of the labor force. The insanity of the unemployment today and the insanity of, Andy, what did you tell me here a while back? There's like between 7 and 8 million adult males.
25 to 45 years old.
Age 25 to 45 years old who simply are not in the workforce.
Not working.
So in other words, they're useless. I mean, I'm not even sure why we're keeping them around, because they're obviously just completely useless people that they voluntarily dropped out of the labor force like that. But that's leading to changes in consumption patterns. It's leading to labor market changes. I'll tell you what, Chuck, if I was back in my 20s again, 20s and 30s, even 40s, there has never been a point in at least my lifetime in 62 years, there has never been a more opportune time to be in the labor force today. The money that you can make is amazing. You can literally set your own rules as an employee in the labor market today, especially if you are in the trades or something like that. The laziness of our society has just absolutely, it baffles me every day.
Absolutely true. And I know that's very dangerous, and it's a telltale sign of trouble in the future. And how will it affect, Andy, the housing market as well, with all these new retirees coming in, the baby boomers that are going to look for more housing probably, and maybe trying to sell homes as well and downsize?
Well, I do think this is an interesting situation right now. I mean, we've seen a softening in the housing market, but not like you would think. I mean, as interest rates have come up, the housing market's just a fuzz off of what it used to be. I think the other challenge is, you know, at least in our area, I think a lot of people stay here because they like living here, especially in the summertime. And so they might, you know, go down to the southern states in the wintertime and spend 4 months or something down there, avoiding, you know, massive winter issues. But from a standpoint of that is an issue down, I know, in warmer climates where we're seeing housing shortages. They can't build them fast enough because people are wanting to participate or have the option to participate in winter fun.
But we don't want them up here because we don't want the traffic and we don't want the noise and we don't want the crime. So we're perfectly fine.
Well, but, you know, selling your house could be an issue if the market does potentially crash. Selling your house could be a really challenging point, especially if interest rates remain high. Now you're going to have to decrease the price, and they're not going to move very quickly. So, yeah. And I mean, those that are buying are mega conglomerations, mega corporations that are then turning around and, you know, releasing those houses back to people. So it is an interesting time that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. What about the effect, Luke, on financial markets?
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, this aging population, more people retiring, 10,000 every day. This causes draws in the market. You know, where we once were contributing, not a lot of distributions coming from the market, now we're seeing the outflows, and that has some increased volatility because we've got less money going in, more money coming out. We've also seen a shift in investment strategies where, you know, people leading up to retirement might be focused more on that growth and accumulation phase. Now they're looking for income. Now we want those assets to produce some income so that we can live the retirement that we've worked so hard for. So that shift away from growth oriented to more income focus that can have another impact on markets and cause a different dynamic, if you will, in financial markets.
And I guess we're going to wrap this segment up with Sam. And I know you want to talk about government policies and the effect of it with all the baby boomers turning into retirement, about 10,000 a day that we calculated, and then the conclusion and what you can do for the listeners as well.
Well, Chuck, something does have to change from a government perspective. There has to be some sort of policy adjustments. You know, when we do our classes and we teach people about these things, the numbers are just staggering. I mean, a typical married couple, if you start taking Social Security at 62, 66, 67, whatever your full retirement age is, I mean, they're going to withdraw well in excess of $1 million from the Social Security system, just two typical couples. And folks, I don't want to burst your bubble here, because I know that everybody thinks that they've just grossly overpaid into the Social Security system. You have not. You have not put that much money into the Social Security system. You have not put even remotely close, not even remotely close, of the amount of money into the Social Security system through your paycheck withdrawals and through your employer's contributions than what you will withdraw over a lifetime. And like everything else, it's simply unsustainable. And now we get this thing where we have less people putting in, more people taking out. Something's going to have to change. When it will happen, I don't know. That is the hot third rail that none of the politicians seem to have the backbone to want to touch. We will see. We will see what will happen. But absent some changes, like I said, I am not a Social Security scaremonger, but absent some changes and some action by the federal government making hard, difficult, vote-losing changes, the system will, in and of itself, collapse under its own weight at some point. So this is going to have a broad range of effects on you folks. I mean, you have got to think about these things. You've got to think about Social Security. You got to think about healthcare. You got to think about financial matters. You got to think about housing. You cannot just act like this is a retirement that your mother and father and grandmother and grandfather had. It is not. It's never going to be again. Things are never going to be the good old days again. It is what it is. We deal with these topics every day. People just like you, people that have the same thoughts, the same fears, the same concerns, and the same dreams as you. Offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Chuck, tell them how to get in to see us.
All right. It's very simple, Sam, and it's 866-203-7486. That's the number to get that no cost, no obligation sit down with Sam, Andy, or Luke here at Dual Financial Strategies, with about 25 years of experience doing this for people to the Fox Valley. So again, they've got, as Sam said, Appleton and Green Bay offices, and the number is 866-203-7486. The Retirement Lifestyle Review is there for you, and the meeting is at no cost, no obligation. So don't procrastinate. Make that phone call, 866-203-7486. We've got to take a break. Sam, what's coming up next?
Well, up next, we're going to talk about planning for retirement and how that involves a combination of things, a combination of financial, lifestyle, and personal considerations that you have to make. When we come back, we've got five key things for you to focus on in the 5 years leading up to your retirement.
Your retirement continues. I'm Chuck Caton, along with our full studio of Andy Schooler, Sam Duell, and Luke Van Abel of Duell Financial Strategies, where they can provide for you that retirement lifestyle review that you've been waiting for if you're approaching your retirement. If you're one of those 10,000 a day that are turning to retirement, the baby boomers in our audience, remember that we've got offices in Appleton and Green Bay, and that number is 866-203-7486. So let's talk about those five key things to focus on in the 5 years leading up to your retirement, what we familiarly, Sam, call the financial red zone. You're ready to go in that football analogy. So first of all is your financial planning and your assessment of your situation. True?
Absolutely. The first thing you have to do if you're in that five-year window is assess your savings. First of all, are you on track? Do you have enough to be able to start this retirement consideration thing? Should you be maxing out your contributions to your retirement accounts, like your 401ks, your IRAs, or your other retirement plans? And even as important as that, where are you saving the money at? Are you at a point now to where you have enough funded into the 401k We're not going to talk about it in detail today, folks, but you're just building a tax trap for yourself is all you're doing. That is the biggest tax trap that has ever been foisted upon the American consumer since the dawn of time. So you have to be very careful about how much money you have in that 401k that you do not back yourself into a tax trap corner. Should you be shifting that to the Roth IRA? Should you be shifting that to other vehicles? I don't know. That's what the Retirement Lifestyle Review is for. But definitely review and adjust if necessary. Debt reduction. Do you have any high interest debt? Credit cards, personal loans. If the house, for most people, that's pretty reasonable. Most of you have a pretty reasonable interest rate on your homes. But are you paying interest on revolving debt? If you are, pay it off. Get rid of it. That is going to be more detrimental to you than not making a contribution to a 401k. Let's say you're making a contribution to a 401k. You get a little bit of a tax deduction for that, maybe 12%. But what if you're paying 18% on a credit card? You just completely mitigated the deposit into the IRA by not paying off the credit card and an emergency fund. Make sure you've got that money there. As you start to go into those last few years of working, cash is going to be king for you. And folks, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of uses for cash when you start retirement, particularly if you do it before age 65, when you can draw Medicare and you need to go on Obamacare. A lot of uses for cash there above and beyond an emergency fund. It's important that you have a good pot of it.
Absolutely true. And Andy, of course, you touched on this earlier as well in the first segment. Healthcare planning is extremely important as well. And you've got to be thinking ahead about this thing. And as Sam just alluded to, you don't get Medicare till 65. But healthcare planning in general for your entire retirement is important, right?
Oh, it is very much so. Look at the people around you and that what whom surrounds you, I guess. Do you still have aging parents? Are their needs being taken care of today? Are there essentially gaps in their planning that they have done? I know a lot of people will come into us because they are dealing with aging parents. They're dealing with the fact that they may or may not have long-term care of some kind. And so, you know, we can get into that in more detail, but the reality of the situation is Medicare does not cover your events if you need long-term care. Those are two totally different things. Medicare acts just like your health insurance basically did when you were working. There's obviously some differences, but for the most part, it is the same type of insurance. Long-term care is very specific for home health care, adult daycare, assisted living, nursing facilities. Depending on what your level of care is that you need, you're probably going to need some sort of assistance unless you are beyond wealthy that can be helpful to you to get you through those times, because long-term care is incredibly expensive and it's going to get more and more so. I mean, when we look at the numbers today, planning futuristically, and like we talked about in segment number one, the potential shortfalls that could be there with regards to workers, staff, facilities, they're turning schools into assisted living facilities. I mean, this is going on in larger cities. So, I mean, what does that tell you about the demographics now? This is a huge need.
Absolutely true. We're talking about the five things to focus on in the 5 years leading up to your retirement here on Your Retirement with Sam, Andy, and Luke. And Luke, I guess lifestyle and housing decisions have to be made too. Don't wait too long.
Right. I mean, now's the time to be thinking about, you know, where do you want to stay? Is it going to be in the current home, the current property that you're in? Are you going to be looking to downsize as you age or retired? Or have you been thinking about relocating to a different city, a different state, a different part of the country, something like that? You want to factor in the costs associated with each of those decisions, the maintenance associated with the decision, whether you stay, whether you move, and accessibility, because we're all aging, we're all getting older. If you do stay, what updates might have to be done to allow you to stay? I read something interesting this morning that the average cost just for maintenance on a home throughout the United States is about $18,500 a year. So you've got to factor that into your lifetime spending needs. On the note of accessibility, if you do need modifications to the home to stay, you know, factor those costs in. Is it reasonable? Is it really what you want to do to ensure that you can meet all those needs?
Absolutely. And retirement budgeting, that is a real key as well when you're looking down the road, right, Sam, to retirement?
It is. And it's something that people don't give a lot of thought to. I mean, for most of you, we're, you know, you're starting to close in on retirement. You haven't lived on a quote unquote budget for a long, long time. You haven't had to, because most of the times you have disposable income. But it's important that you sit down and you look at your lifestyle in a detailed fashion. What are your expected retirement expenses? And what is your expected retirement income? Where's the money going to come from? Because you are going to open your own small business, folks, when you retire. You're responsible for the income. You're responsible for the spending patterns. You're responsible for the outflow. You are responsible for every fixed cost, housing, healthcare, food, medical, you name it. You're responsible for all of them. And there's not going to be a paycheck other than Social Security, maybe a pension coming in. You're also responsible for all your discretionary spending, travel, hobbies. Chuck, I've had people that I've seen get into trouble in retirement, particularly those that were in the corporate sales world, where they did a lot of entertaining with clients and they wanted to maintain that entertainment lifestyle after they retired. Only they forgot that they weren't the ones paying for the entertainment. They weren't the ones paying for the $300 dinner. They weren't the ones paying for the $400 round of golf. It was the company they worked for. So you have to be realistic with your budget. Will your inflow support your lifestyle? You cannot have champagne tastes when you can only afford Budweiser when you go into retirement. Test your budget. Put your budget in place, put your spending in place, and then test that for 6 months before you're going to retire. Say, okay, can I live within these boundaries? Can I do this? That's the way you're going to know for sure. Test drive it before you buy it.
All right. I thought you were going to say Pabst Blue Ribbon or Miller or something like that.
Well, it'd be more old style up here. I think old style is probably.
Yeah. Oh,
probably
yeah.
Yeah, that's a default choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or Keystone Light, maybe. I don't know. Oh. I don't drink beer, so I see the names, but I don't know. I can't tell you anything about them because I'm not a beer drinker.
All right. I'm going to throw one more at you here as an aside before we get to Andy and talk about personal goals and hobbies. Here is one of the five things to think about as you lead to retirement. Leinenkugel.
Yeah, that's a big one. But Leinenkugel, that's more premium, isn't it? I would assume.
I don't know.
It's not expensive, but I think that's more considered.
Yeah, I was the old Pabst guy when I lived in Madison, so, you know.
And Euchre.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's still going strong. All right, Andy, let's talk about this, the personal goals and hobbies that you have to think about here, because as Sam alluded to, you got so much time on your hands here. What do you want to do with it when you're in retirement?
Well, it's about 2,500 hours that you got to figure out how you're going to spend your time.
I dare you. I dare you to challenge me to figure out what to do with it.
I mean, you want to think about, is it golfing that you like? Or, you know, identifying those hobbies, maybe volunteering opportunities, travel plans, part-time work that you might be interested in. I mean, heck, if you're a golfing person, if you get a, you know, part-time gig on a golf course, well, you probably get some free rounds or some perks that
I'm
will...
I'm picking up range balls. That's my
retirement. Is that what you're doing?
Job. So any of you golf
You've
courses
changed
out there
a
looking
few times.
For some help.
That's, okay.
Why don't you apply Whistling Straits or something, you know?
No, I don't need that. And I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go mow, but I will go out and pick up range balls. So if you're looking for help, let me know. Too ugly to be running any beverage carts.
Jeez. On to other things. Building a social network actually might help with strengthening your social connections. You know, we might consider joining clubs or groups that align with your interests, and that's going to help you maintain more of an active and fulfilling social life. And you know, I mean, a lot of people, like I said, go down south and they go to Florida, they go to Alabama, they go to wherever you want to go, Texas, Arizona. There's tons and tons of activities and golf courses, and you know, you can be outside so much more of the time that you certainly do tend to stay more active during that period of time. So I think, you know, looking at and evaluating whether that's something that you can truly afford. I mean, how much does it really cost to go down and rent a place for a few months or 4 months, whatever that is. So those are all things that you need to evaluate and look at in order to be able to determine whether your spending will allow you to have the freedoms that you truly want.
Absolutely true. And so Sam, how do we help people do that?
Simply by sitting down and talking about it. That's what we find is most beneficial. But talking about it relative to you, not talking about it relative to a sales pitch, not talking about it relative to some broker that's working for a company and is not a fiduciary. Talking about it as a fiduciary advisory firm focused on your best interest, committed to your best interest, and making sure that the things you're doing are going to work for you and only you, because at the end of the day, that's whose retirement it's going to be. It's going to be yours.
And in order to do that, you need to make this phone call at 866-203-7486 and visit with Sam, Andy, or Luke here at Dual Financial Strategies, where they can provide for you a retirement lifestyle review, and it is all about you. It's not going to be the same one that your neighbor would get or one of your relatives or friends would get from either the Green Bay or Appleton office. They have offices in both places. And so it's all about a customized retirement plan for you. And as part of the premium, I think Sam would forward you the book that he wrote, Purpose Determines Placement. And he would explain that to you in detail when you make that no cost, no obligation appointment by calling 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. No cost, no obligation, and a sit down with the fine folks at Dual Financial Strategies. What's coming up next, Sam?
Every week on the show, we tackle a lot of information about getting to retirement. How much should you save? How much can you withdraw every year? How much income will you really need? Those are great questions. But what about things that could make a financial difference in your retirement that are not common topics? Stick around. Find out what that is right after this.
We are back here on Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with Luke Van Abel and Andy Schooler and Sam Dual of Dual Financial Strategies, where they've got over a quarter of a century of experience helping you to and through your retirement. They are fiduciaries. That means you come first. Green Bay and Appleton are their offices, and their phone number is 866-203-7486. Chuck Caton, happy to be with the trio of wonderful individuals here in Northeast Wisconsin that help you to and through retirement. All right, let's talk about this now. Some of the questions we have, as Sam said, there's a lot of different things we can talk about in retirement. And unfortunately, with the statistics that we have seen over the years, this may apply to some, Sam, and that is the implications of divorce when it comes to retirement.
Yes, it's not something that we see a lot, but we have seen a few cases of this in our 24 years of doing this. And you know, it just has such a profound effect on both personal aspects, financial aspects, particularly if you're in retirement. You're going to be dividing assets. You're going to be dividing real estate, retirement savings accounts, pensions, family business, stock options. I mean, you name it, it's going to get divided. And often it's contentious when those things happen. And the thing about the divorce process is that it's not a scenario anymore where it's just like you're divorced and you're done. Unfortunately, with our legal system today, the way that it works, anybody can come back at any time on what you thought was a finalized divorce and try to do something different, especially if there are payment arrangements. We have seen that recently with one of our clients where the payment arrangement was supposed to be X, and now the ex-husband is claiming all sorts of goofy stuff is happening to him, so he wants to come back and change the rules of the game. You know, questionable whether there's actually something going on in his life. My guess is he's tired of writing the check to her. However, that doesn't stop him or prevent him in today's legal system from dragging her through the courts again. So, ladies, I would say I'm kind of speaking to you right now. Be very, very knowledgeable about this if this is going to happen in your life, because it is not going to be the way it was before.
Yeah, that's amazing. And of course, costly and emotionally draining, I would have to
horrible.
Say. Right?
Absolutely. It's a horrible, horrible thing in retirement. It's like, why did you work all of those years and stay together all of those years just to completely blow up your lives in retirement? That to me is like, I don't know, get separate bedrooms, whatever.
Or separate houses. Anyway.
Or separate houses. Yeah. I don't want to be flipping. But yeah, for what it's going to cost you to split the assets, you can probably get yourself another house. So.
Mm-hmm. Questions here, ladies and gentlemen, that you may or may not have thought of as you approach retirement. And Andy, one of them is, can I leave more money to one child over another? There may be familial difficulties for some.
Oh, and that can happen often. I mean, you know, just think about if you're a blended family, for instance, you may want to leave her assets to her kids, his assets to his kids, or have some sort of a blend of that. But that will have to come with some serious conversation and looking at all of your assets and where they come from. I just recently met with a couple who have been together for 15 years, I think. And they came from troubled first marriages. And so both of them are a little bit gun shy about connecting their assets. And in some cases, like, they're like, yeah, you know, we do trust each other enough that we could probably blend that. And I'm like, well, it's good after 15 years that you can feel that comfortable with that person. But it is a challenge. And, you know, you do have situations, if you've got a special needs kid, you might need to provide additional financial assets for that child to exist long beyond when you might be gone, as well as
trust.
Yes, I mean, that's a special needs trust situation, but there are going to be situations where you may end up leaving more money to one child over others. So just have that conversation. And I think it's important to work with somebody who can help you put all of that in perspective, and how, what's the most efficient way of getting money to that next generation. And that might be through insurance tools. It might be through different variations of Roth. I don't know, but those are definitely things to evaluate.
Questions that we should be asking you, the retiree listening here on Your Retirement, that sometimes get overlooked. And Luke, I think one of the things is, people may be under the misconception that they don't need to save money in retirement, but do they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that is a big misconception that people think, well, now I'm retired, I don't need to, you know, save anything anymore. But especially, you know, in those first few years of retirement and even leading into retirement, Sam talked about this in an early segment, especially relating to healthcare costs, because of the way you qualify for those things, having savings, having some alternative places that you can pull money from that won't necessarily be taxable could provide you huge benefits, huge reductions in your premium every single month, and even beyond healthcare. It's just wise and smart to have additional sources of financial stability, places that you can pull money from should that emergency arise. You know, a lot of your retirement accounts, yes, they're accessible to you, but we still want to spend within our means, unlike our government does.
Mm-hmm. That is true. 866-203-7486 is the number. And we're talking about questions that you may have that you need to ask, or maybe something you haven't thought of as you're approaching retirement. And one of them, Sam, is also, do I need to or should I work part-time in retirement?
Well, that's, you know, that's one of those questions you just have to answer for yourself. As I said earlier in the show today, the labor market has never been better than now for those of you who do want to work part-time in retirement. But if you maybe you need to fill a financial gap. That can certainly be done. You can do that. Maybe maintaining social connections. We see a lot of people that end up working in retirement just to maintain that social connection. Because, it, as Andy said, it's 2,500 hours, folks, that you're going to have to fill when you go into retirement. And how are you going to do that? And for those of you that are more people-centric, that are more people-oriented, you're going to have to figure out how to do that. So, absolutely, you may need to work in retirement, or you may want to work part-time in retirement. We won't go into detail on today's show, but when you come in and visit with us, if you're going to draw Social Security and you're going to work pre-full retirement age, you need to talk to one of us about how much you can have in income, because there are significant penalties if you make too much at that time.
Andy, I know you've probably seen this, maybe not as much as maybe in some other markets or some other places in America, but another question that retirees and the pre-retirees might have right now is, how do you say no to a child, an adult child, when they want money?
Well, that is a good question. So it's really important to understand your assets are, in fact, relatively limited compared to their ability to work, unless there's some outside, you know, accident or whatever that happened. You really are going to have to be very conscious to not just dole out money right and left to your kids. And I know it's hard. I mean, you want to make sure that your family is taken care of. You want to make sure that they have everything they need. The challenge is that unless you want to go back to work it may not be the best choice for you to take your assets, which aren't necessarily going to keep up with those distributions potentially, and give them to your children. So I know it's super hard, but I have seen this a number of times where, my kid's just in trouble. They need help with this or that, or their house, or, you know, this or that. And you end up spending a tremendous amount of your assets. And how long would it take you to earn that back? How long would it take you to save that back? How long or how much risk would you have to put your money into the market or something to grow it in a fairly questionable market at this point in time? I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen. We can all, I think, agree that being $34 trillion in debt is a significant issue, and it will come back to bite us in the bottom at some point in time. So I think we really need to go into this situation with kids and say, look, I'm sorry, but I can help you strategize. I can help you budget. I can help you figure out some stuff. But just giving away my assets may or may not allow you to maintain your retirement lifestyle. So I think it's a really significant, potentially damaging issue that you need to take a look at.
All right. So Luke, quickly, as we wrap this segment up, should couples retire at the same or at different times? If they're both working, they're approaching retirement. What's the best possible answer there?
Well, I wish there was a cut and dry, simple answer for everybody, but this is really personal, like so many other things, that it just depends. It depends on the person. It depends on, you know, what's the husband's personality? What's the wife's personality? My own parents are a great example. A month ago, my dad retired. My mom, she's been fortunate enough to work in more of a part-time capacity, doing something she's really passionate about, which is helping aging people in their homes. And she's got a gift for it. She's got a knack for it. And my mom is really social. She needs to be around people. If she's not around people, it's not good for her. And so my encouragement to her, my dad's encouragement to her, is keep working in this capacity, doing the things that you love. So it's really a personal thing. But what I do know in working with families for over 12 years now, is that once the first one goes, it often is a little bit more challenging for the one that's still working as they start to see what their lifestyle's like. But, you know, this is something that as husband and wife that you're going to have to work through together.
Absolutely true. So, Sam, all these questions combined can be answered with a visit to your offices.
It certainly can, Chuck. We feel it's imperative for people to get good information. I mean, just look at the differences between fiduciary advisors, non-fiduciary advisors. If you want to really get into the nitty-gritty, you need to find a fiduciary advisor who's going to have your back, not just when you start with them, but for the entire time that you're working with them. Making sure that you're working with someone who is a fee-based advisor, who is transparent about what they're getting paid, when they're getting paid, why they're getting paid, et cetera, et cetera. These are not unreasonable questions. It's stuff that you need to be aware of. It's stuff that you've got to ask the questions. It shouldn't be hard, and it shouldn't cause conflict between that relationship. And frankly, if it does, that's probably a good reason to not work with that person. So understanding how the people get paid, understanding where their focus is, you have to look at, we feel like, people that are in retirement planning. There is a big difference between the growth and accumulation world and retirement. There's so many gotchas. There's so many little hidden nuances in retirement that can really impact your overall length of retirement. I mean, you only get one shot at this deal. You better be working with people that know and understand the nuances that are involved. Sam likens it to a jigsaw puzzle, and it truly is. Everybody is different. There's a plethora of tools out there, to be sure. And there's always going to be one that gets used at the end of the day. But like his book talks about, purpose determines placement. What is the purpose of that money? And that's going to dictate what tool you're going to use. And there should be a ton of transparency on that.
866-203-7486 is the number. And you heard Andy. You have offices in Green Bay and Appleton. They are full service. They can help you to and through retirement with all these questions to be answered with that retirement lifestyle review. So again, make that phone call right now at 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. And let Sam, Andy, or Luke help you with their over a quarter of a century of experience collectively here on Your Retirement. All right, Luke, it's been a great show so far. What's coming up next?
Well, we need to take a break, but when we return, we'll jump into some questions from listeners. We'll be right back.
We are back here on Your Retirement, and Luke Venable, Andy Schooler with us. Sam stepping away from the question and answer segment. I guess I must have picked some tough ones here, but he'll be back with us next week, of course. And it's all about your retirement. We're talking with Andy Schooler, Luke Venable. I'm Chuck Caton. And remember, the number is 866-203-7486. Offices in Appleton and in Green Bay for Dual Financial Strategies, where they can help you with a retirement lifestyle review. But it's time to answer some questions first. And Andy, are you all set for the first one?
Let's go.
All righty. We've got Albert in Greenville who wants to know, he's thinking about venturing into real estate as another income stream. So I just got a simple question for you. What's my best approach?
Hi, Albert. Interesting question, especially this time in the market. I would say there's a couple of things that you need to think about. So from a, do you enjoy being a landlord? Do you enjoy working on home projects? Do you enjoy sort of fixing things? That would be honestly part of where I would start, unless you're going to hire a management company. I don't know how many houses you're looking at or how many, whatever type of real estate you want to get into. But from a standpoint of knowing and understanding that industry is incredibly helpful. If you've never done that, that can be a huge chore to take on if you're not familiar with the laws and the regulations and, you know, having real estate as an income source. Are you renting it out? Are, you know, under what pretense is this an Airbnb situation? Is it a long-term rental? Those are all things that you need to know and understand the laws regarding taking on rentals. So and we're not even getting into the costs associated with that at this point in time. So then the next question that you kind of have to ask yourself is, what kind of discretionary income do you have sitting on the side? What sort of loans are you looking at taking out potentially? I mean, it's, you know, higher interest rates than we've seen in quite a number of years. And yet the prices still haven't come down. Are you looking at buying rentals here in Wisconsin? Are you looking at buying rentals in some other state? So those are all parts of the puzzle that we need to kind of discuss and figure out. So, you know, absolutely sitting down with someone to look at strategizing a good approach for you, and without knowing your financial situation, obviously that's a little bit more challenging over the radio, but those are definitely things that I would want you to consider looking at real estate is, are you managing? Are you going to hire someone to manage, know and understand the laws that are around rentals? And then just looking at the financial side of things, how long is it going to take to recoup your investment? What is a reasonable expectation? Taxes, insurance, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the list goes on and on. So all things to consider.
All right, let's go to Lou and DePere now. And Luke, he wants to know, I'm still working, but I'm thinking about claiming Social Security right now. I'm 63 years of age. So what's the downside of doing that?
Hi, Lou. A great question. On the note of Social Security, well, by taking it early, you're going to take a reduced benefit for the rest of your life, because once we start Social Security, that's the benefit we get going forward, minus the cost of living adjustments that come over time with the current rules around Social Security. The other downside would be, you know, you've stated that you're working, so I don't know what your working income is, but there's tax implications. So Social Security is taxable for the vast majority of people. They're going to be taxed on that Social Security to the federal government, not to the state of Wisconsin. So that's good. So that would be a downside, additional tax liability for having both working income and Social Security income at the same time. If you're working in a full-time capacity and drawing Social Security, obviously that burden is going to be a little bit higher. And the other thing that comes to mind would be, as a downside, would be the potential penalties associated with taking your Social Security prior to your full retirement age, which for most people today is 66 to 67 years old. So if you earn more than $22,320 a year and you're taking your Social Security, now you're going to see a reduction in your Social Security benefit. And if you wait to do that, the threshold goes up. So those are the big three, a reduction in benefit, increased tax liability, and potential penalties on your Social Security for drawing too early.
All right. Final question goes to Andy from Eli in Kokona. And he says, it's really nice to hear somebody explaining finances in just plain English. I enjoy your show very much. You talk about steady income in retirement. So how do you build that?
Hi, Eli. Great question. There's a number of different ways that we're going to look at and talk about that are specific to generating income. And obviously going into retirement, that income versus expenses is a constant conversation that needs to be had. It needs to have a tremendous amount of clarity as to, again, where's your money coming from? Are you looking at Social Security? Are you fortunate enough to have some sort of a pension? Do you have a annuity? So there are a number of tools that are really specific to generating income. Now, there's other people that, you know, might have invested in housing a long time ago. They might have invested in storage units. They might have invested in laundromats. You know, whatever the case, that's a little bit more of passive income situations, although they do take some labor to keep them going. But for most people, it's going to be Social Security, pensions, or annuities. And annuities, there are varying annuities. Obviously, there's single premium median annuities. There is fixed annuities, which are going to be basically a giant CD, if you will, 3, 5, 7 years specific interest rate. There's going to be variable annuities. Variable annuities, you end up taking the risk. There's an mutual funds that are the engine that makes them go. So they can go up, they can go down. We've seen pretty high costs in some of those tools. And then there's kind of a tool in the middle called a fixed or a fixed indexed annuity. And that allows you to participate in some of the upsides of the market without any of the downside risk. So there's a number of variations there that we can look at. And obviously, it just depends on what it is that you're trying to accomplish as to what kind of a tool might be appropriate for your situation. So again, coming up with streams of income for most people is going to be one of those three tools for the most part. So then you've got your income gap potentially and tapping into your 401k or what used to be 401k, 403b, 457 that has to get converted to an IRA. But you can use a portion of your money, and we'll see this fairly often, that we can be competitive. You know, if you have a lump sum option because your pension was frozen, it might be a situation where you can take that money, potentially add to it with IRA money, and again, put that into some sort of annuity to create an income stream. It may be leaving it in the market and just setting up a passive withdrawal that comes out of that. Now, obviously, you're going to have taxes because you've never paid taxes on IRA money. But again, these are all situations that you can look at and potentially use depending on what your comfort level is, you know, what your asset level is. Obviously, you don't want to use an annuity for all of your money. It is not considered a liquid tool. So you have to look at how much money do you have sitting on the side that is technically liquid, be it savings, be it market, be it whatever. You're going to have a number of places that you can go with your money. And so then we just have to figure out what is the balance that you need, or what is the balance that your family needs to make sure that you do have the income coming in, and against the expenses and the potential expenses. I mean, if you're going through retirement, it's not like, you know, you fix it and forget it. It's a matter of, you might have a roof, you might need a car, you might have health expenses, you might have, you know, travel expenses to be with family. Any number of these things are going to require that income. So I don't know that I can be specific as to you particularly, but those are basically the tools that are out there and available for you. And that, you know, will make sure that you have the income that you need going through retirement, because that you only get once to get this right.
Absolutely. So, Luke, again, we can put this succinctly. What can we do for our listeners?
Well, we can have a conversation. We can have a conversation about any of the things we've talked about on the radio. What's on your mind? What's concerning you? What's keeping you up at night? What would help you feel confident in your retirement? Chuck, tell them how they can reach out, and we can get them on the books to find the time that works for all of us.
Absolutely, Luke. And it's easy. It's a toll-free call of 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. They've got offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Very convenient for you, so that Sam, Andy, and Luke can meet with you and provide that retirement lifestyle review that we're talking about. And also maybe a copy of Sam's book, Purpose Determines Placement, which is in its third printing right now. You'll get that as a premium. And remember, these meetings are no cost, no obligation to you. Sit down, assess where you are in terms of what you want in retirement, because as this show demonstrates by its title, it's all about your retirement. It's not about the next door neighbor, one of your friends, because each of you have different needs and different wants and different goals in retirement. Once again, 866-203-7486 is the number, and we are happy to be at your service at Dual Financial Strategies. Well, we've got Andy and Luke here. Sam is away for this segment, but I know somebody wants to give our listeners some final thoughts.
Thanks for being here. Same time, same place next week. Look forward to having you here.
Have a great weekend.
Investment advisory services offered through Dual Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Dual Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Dual Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Dual Financial Strategies.